Welcome to the CME Certified Activity, the role and benefits of free vascularized fibular grafts in avascular necrosis of the hip on ReachMD. This activity is co-provided by MedIQ and the Duke University Health System Department of Clinical Education and Professional Development. This activity discusses surgical options for patients with osteonecrosis of the hip, with a focus on free vascularized fibular grafting, a technique that was pioneered at Duke University Medical Center. Included is a discussion on the procedure and post-surgical recovery, as well as the benefits and risks of free vascularized fibular grafting. In addition, this activity outlines strategies to identify ideal candidates for this procedure. Upon completion, participants should be able to explain the goals, benefits, and risks of free vascularized fibular grafting, and identify appropriate patient candidates for free vascularized fibular grafting. Osteonecrosis of the femoral head, also called avascular necrosis, is a debilitating bone disease that leads to destruction of the hip joint in people between the ages of 30 and 50 years. It affects approximately 10,000 to 20,000 new patients in the United States each year. Common causes of this condition include exposure to high-dose corticosteroids, trauma, and chronic alcohol consumption. For nearly 25% of patients, however, it is idiopathic. Osteonecrosis of the femoral head has been referred to as the coronary disease of the hip because it mimics the natural history of heart ischemia. Following an initial ischemic injury to bone tissue, an impaired remodeling process contributes to progressive bone loss. Without intervention, progression to femoral head collapse, pain, and hip dysfunction can be rapid. Given that this condition primarily affects younger individuals, a joint-preserving procedure is preferable to hip replacement surgery. This has the advantage of avoiding postoperative restrictions associated with joint replacement surgery in this active patient population. Therefore, treatment priorities for most patients with osteonecrosis of the femoral head include relieving pain by removing the necrotic bone, preserving or restoring the integrity of the femoral head, and delaying the need for total hip arthroplasty. Multiple joint-preserving procedures have been used to treat osteonecrosis of the femoral head, including core decompression, electrical stimulation, osteotomy, and non-vascularized and vascularized bone grafting. Free vascularized fibular grafting is an effective option for salvaging the necrotic femoral head when performing prior to radiographic collapse in patients with this condition. For those with post-collapse osteonecrosis of the femoral head, this procedure can still improve joint function while delaying the need for total hip arthroplasty. Urbaniak developed the free vascularized fibular grafting procedure at Duke University Medical Center in 1979. It is typically performed by two surgeons who focus on the graft and donor sites respectively. During the procedure, the graft is harvested via fibular osteotomy with its associated vascular pedicle, perineal artery, and veins, as shown in Figure 1. This image shows a fibula harvest during free vascularized fibular grafting surgery. By preserving the vascularity, the graft maintains its osteogenic potential. The mid portion of the fibula is harvested, preserving the important proximal and distal tibiofibular ligaments. Simultaneously, the necrotic tissue is removed from the femoral head with the goal of interrupting the cycle of ischemia, intraosseous hypertension, and impaired remodeling. This is performed by drilling from the lateral aspect of the hip into the center of the femoral head. The tract is progressively enlarged to accommodate the diameter of the harvested fibula, as shown in Figure 2. This image is a hip X-ray of a 28-year-old woman with post-traumatic osteonecrosis of the femoral head from a previous hip dislocation. The tract created for the fibula graft before incorporation is circled. Through the same incision, the ascending branch of the lateral femoral circumflex vessels are identified and harvested for later anastomosis. The graft is then placed into the defective area to support the femoral head, provide perfusion, and promote local revascularization. Advances in microsurgical techniques have led to improved vessel anastomosis. The vascularized bone graft is almost always successfully incorporated into the host bed, showing healing characteristics that are similar to those of a similar fracture. Ideal candidates for free vascularized fibular grafting include patients younger than 35 years with symptomatic pre-collapse osteonecrosis of the femoral head. However, the indications for this procedure are not rigid. Multiple other factors such as disease stage, lesion size and location, disease etiology, and the presence of comorbidities influence the selection of appropriate intervention for patients with this condition. Multiple classification systems have been developed to define disease stage in patients with osteonecrosis of the femoral head. The Steinberg classification system is considered particularly useful because it describes the severity of disease and the extent of involvement, both of which influence prognosis. HIPS are first classified into stages 0 to 6 based on radiologic findings. These stages follow the sequence of pathologic events that characterize the natural history of osteonecrosis of the femoral head. Table 1 shows the Steinberg classification of osteonecrosis of the adult hip. In stage 0, radiographs, bone and CT scans, or MRIs are normal or non-diagnostic. In stage 1, radiographs are normal, but the bone scan or CT scan or MRI is abnormal. In stage 2, radiographs show abnormalities consistent with osteonecrosis, and the femoral head is rounded. In stage 3, X-rays reveal subchondral collapse with an accompanying crescent sign. In stage 4, flattening of the femoral head is noted. In stage 5, narrowing of the joint space with or without acetabular involvement is seen. And in stage 6, there is loss of joint space and advanced degenerative changes. Bone and CT scans are used for evaluation only when MRI is contraindicated. After a stage is assigned, the extent of involvement is measured. For stages 1 through 5, the extent of femoral head involvement is designated as A, less than 15%, B, 15 to 30%, or C, more than 30%. Typically, the extent of involvement is not described for patients with normal imaging, i.e. stage 0, or advanced degenerative changes, i.e. stage 6. The Harris HIP score is a tool used for grading the severity of hip disabilities after hip surgery. The tool encompasses four domains: function, absence of deformity, range of motion, and pain severity, including the effect of pain on activity level and the need for pain medication. The Harris HIP score has a maximum of 100 points. Surgical results are considered excellent, good, fair, or poor, based on the following postoperative scores. Excellent, 90 points or greater. Good, 80 to 89 points. Fair, 70 to 79 points. Poor, less than 70 points. Surgical intervention in the earlier pre-collapse stages of osteonecrosis of the femoral head is associated with more favorable outcomes than treatment in post-collapse stages. However, select patients with post-collapse osteonecrosis of the femoral head can nonetheless benefit from the grafting procedure as shown in Figure 3. The image is a hip X-ray of a 32-year-old man with mild post-collapse osteonecrosis of the femoral head at 2 years post-free vascularized fibular grafting. The graft has fully incorporated, and the patient is doing well. In a retrospective study of 224 hips with post-collapse pre-degenerative osteonecrosis of the femoral head, treatment with free vascularized fibular grafting was associated with a 5-year joint survival rate of 64.5% and a substantial improvement in clinical status. The mean Harris HIP score increased from 54.5 before surgery to 81 points following surgery. The size and location of the necrotic lesion also influences post-surgical outcomes. In a retrospective study of 151 free vascularized fibular grafting procedures in 135 patients with osteonecrosis of the femoral head, smaller lesion size was associated with more favorable radiographic findings, higher Harris HIP scores, and a lower likelihood of conversion to total hip arthroplasty after a mean follow-up of 13.9 years. Table 2 shows outcomes more than 10 years following free vascularized fibular grafting, according to baseline extent of necrosis involvement. Regardless of lesion size, lateral lesions located on the weight-bearing surface of the acetabulum are associated with an increased likelihood of femoral head collapse. In a study of 151 free vascularized fibular grafting procedures, 12 of 13 graft failures occurred in hips with lateral lesions. By comparison, the graft survival rate was 100% for lesions involving the medial third of the weight-bearing dome of the acetabulum, with a P of 0.039. Therefore, this procedure may have a limited role in the treatment of lateral lesions, particularly in cases of extensive necrotic involvement. Many disease processes can culminate in osteonecrosis of the femoral head. In a series of 946 patients treated with free vascularized fibular grafting at Duke University Medical Center, the most common cause of osteonecrosis was chronic exposure to high-dose corticosteroids, observed in 344 patients. Other leading etiologies included idiopathic necrosis at 221 patients, trauma at 152, and chronic alcohol consumption at 148. In the remaining patients, osteonecrosis of the femoral head was attributed to dysplasia, pregnancy, Perthes disease, infection, and miscellaneous causes. Independent of disease stage, idiopathic osteonecrosis is associated with poor graft survival following free vascularized fibular grafting. Although the mechanistic relationship is unclear, idiopathic osteonecrosis of the femoral head may result from underlying abnormalities such as intraosseous hypertension that drive progressive changes to the femoral head despite treatment with free vascularized fibular grafting. Other etiologies also predict less favorable post-surgical results. In one analysis of free vascularized fibular grafting for post-collapse osteonecrosis of the femoral head, patients with idiopathic, alcohol-related, or post-traumatic osteonecrosis had significantly worse outcomes than those with osteonecrosis due to other causes, including steroid use, with a P of 0.017. In contrast, patients with osteonecrosis of the femoral head secondary to systemic lupus erythematosus generally do well with free vascularized fibular grafting. Some evidence indicates a greater likelihood of graft survival in younger patients, with optimal age thresholds in different studies ranging up to 35 or 40 years. Other analyses, however, have found no independent association between patient age at the time of surgery and long-term graft survival or other postoperative outcomes. Therefore, patient age is one of the many factors that influence the appropriateness of free vascularized fibular grafting. Up to 9% of children and adolescents undergoing treatment for childhood malignancies develop osteonecrosis of the femoral head as a complication of chemotherapy. Due to delayed diagnosis in this patient population, pediatric patients tend to present with late-stage disease. In a series of pediatric patients with post-chemotherapy osteonecrosis of the femoral head treated at Duke University Medical Center, 21 of 29 hips showed evidence of flattening of the femoral head at the time of diagnosis. As a strategy to delay total hip arthroplasty, free vascularized fibular grafting is often undertaken in pediatric patients with more advanced disease features than those considered acceptable in older patients. By comparison, total hip arthroplasty is the preferred intervention for patients older than 50 years with any degree of symptomatic osteonecrosis of the femoral head, and for those older than 40 years with advanced stage disease, extensive involvement, or limited range of motion in the hip. Vascular integrity is critical to the success of vascularized bone grafting. Therefore, patients with comorbidities such as peripheral vascular disease, deep venous thrombosis, or previous vascular damage are poor candidates for free vascularized fibular grafting. Patients with known vasculopathies, sickle cell disease, or clotting disorders that affect the microvascular portion of the procedure may not benefit from the procedure. Additional exclusion criteria include hypoplasia or the absence of one or both of the anterior or posterior tibial arteries, a defect that occurs in 8% of the population. Harvesting the vascularized fibular graft in these patients may compromise local circulation and lead to lower limb ischemia. Despite concerns over the potential loss of biochemical integrity with prior core decompression, select patients with a history of core decompression may be appropriate candidates for free vascularized fibular grafting. In one retrospective analysis, previous core decompression did not significantly increase the rate of conversion to total hip arthroplasty following free vascularized fibular grafting. After a mean follow-up of 48 months, 15 of 32 hips, or 47%, with a history of core decompression required conversion to total hip arthroplasty, compared with 20 of 54 hips, or 37%, treated with free vascularized fibular grafting alone. The mean time to total hip arthroplasty was similar with or without prior core decompression at 96.9 months versus 73.1 months, respectively. However, among patients with prior core decompression, Steinberg stage 5 disease, and/or history of corticosteroid use predicted significantly worse outcomes following free vascularized fibular grafting. Free vascularized fibular grafting is associated with more favorable outcomes compared with other common surgical approaches to osteonecrosis of the femoral head treatment. In a recent meta-analysis, Fang and colleagues compared outcomes among patients with this condition. 740 patients treated were with free vascularized fibular grafting interventions, while 244 patients were treated with non-free vascularized fibular grafting interventions. The non-free vascularized fibular grafting procedures included core decompression, non-vascularized fibular graft, and vascularized iliac graft. The analysis favored the use of free vascularized fibular grafting to achieve a good to excellent clinical result, with Harris hip score greater than or equal to 80, prevent osteonecrosis of the femoral head from progressing to collapse, and prevent or delay the need for total hip arthroplasty. Following free vascularized fibular grafting, 69% of patients had good to excellent clinical results, and only 16.5% required conversion to total hip arthroplasty. In comparison, only 25% of patients undergoing non-free vascularized fibular grafting procedures had good to excellent clinical results, and 42.6% required conversion to total hip arthroplasty. The difference in failure rates between the two groups was also statistically significant, with 42.8% of the non-free vascularized fibular grafting group having Steinberg stage 2 to 3 disease versus 16.5% of the free vascularized fibular grafting group with a P less than 0.001. 63.6% of the non-free vascularized fibular grafting group experienced femoral head collapse, compared with 16.7% of patients who underwent free vascularized fibular grafting, with a P less than 0.05. Although slightly more complications were observed in the free vascularized fibular grafting cohort, the difference between complications in the two groups was not statistically significant, at a P of 0.09. Successful free vascularized fibular grafting enables patients to participate in high levels of physical activity, such as impact sports, for many years after surgery. Eward and colleagues described favorable long-term outcomes following free vascularized fibular grafting, including graft survivorship of at least 10 years in 75% of cases. The retrospective study included data from 61 patients who underwent 65 free vascularized fibular grafting procedures for pre-collapse osteonecrosis of the femoral head at Duke University Medical Center between 1979 and 1997. The mean age at surgery was 32.1 years, with a range of 12 to 40 years. Most of the etiologies of osteonecrosis of the femoral head were steroid-induced, with 27 patients, idiopathic, with 20 patients, post-traumatic with 10 patients, and chronic alcohol consumption with 5 patients. Long-term function and activity level were measured with the modified Harris Hip Score, SF-12 physical and mental component summary scores, and an activity questionnaire. The minimum follow-up was 10.5 years. At long-term follow-up, 39 hips, or 60%, had surviving grafts. The mean graft survival time was 14.9 years, with a range of 10.5 to 26.1 years. Conversion to total hip arthroplasty was required for 26 hips, or 40%, after a mean duration of 8.3 years. Pain and functional status were similar 10 years postoperatively in patients with surviving grafts and in those who converted to total hip arthroplasty. However, patients with surviving grafts were significantly more likely to engage in impact sports or active events, such as jogging, tennis, skiing, ballet, bicycling, golf, and bowling. 64% of patients with surviving grafts engaged in these activities versus 38.4% who had converted to total hip arthroplasty with a P of 0.04. In addition, patients with surviving grafts had higher mean SF-12 mental component summary scores at last follow-up than those who had undergone total hip arthroplasty at 54 versus 50, respectively, with a P of 0.018. Procedural complications of free vascularized fibular grafting are generally divided into two categories: those related to harvesting the fibular graft and those related to the hip reconstruction. Gaskell and colleagues examined donor and graft site complication rates following free vascularized fibular grafting procedures for osteonecrosis of the femoral head in 946 consecutive patients treated at Duke University Medical Center between 1990 and 2006. At an average follow-up of 8.3 years, 215 complications were reported, representing a complication rate of 16.9%. These included 146 complications, or 11.5%, associated with the donor site, and 69 complications, or 5.4%, at the graft site. The most common donor site complications were great toe flexion contracture and ankle pain and/or tenderness, observed in 37% and 36% of study participants, respectively. Other less common complications included sensory complication in 14%, superficial infection in 7%, motor complication in 5%, and deep infection in 0.7%. The most common graft site complications were pin migration and heterotopic ossification, experienced by 43% and 26% of subjects, respectively. Other complications included femoral fracture in 13%, deep venous thrombosis in 6%, superficial infection in 4%, deep infection in 4%, hematoma in 1%, and trochanteric bursitis in 1%. More than two-thirds of the reported complications following free vascularized fibular grafting were minor, asymptomatic, or transient. By comparison, 54 procedures, or 4.3%, were associated with a major complication that required chronic pain management or additional surgical intervention. The complication rates associated with free vascularized fibular grafting have decreased substantially over the past two decades. For instance, the risk of proximal femoral fracture at Duke University Medical Center decreased from 2.5% in 1996 to 0.6% in 2009. These changes have been attributed to increased institutional experience, more meticulous approaches to handling neurovascular structures, greater awareness of post-surgical complications, and more strictly enforced weight-bearing limitations following surgery. Functional outcomes among patients who convert to total hip arthroplasty after failed free vascularized fibular grafting are comparable to those of patients treated with primary total hip arthroplasty. Therefore, even in patients with graft failure, free vascularized fibular grafting can delay the need for total hip arthroplasty without compromising post-total hip arthroplasty functional outcomes. The average hospital stay for patients undergoing free vascularized fibular grafting is 4 days. Postoperative management includes antithrombotic therapy with intravenous dextran for 3 days, followed by daily aspirin for 6 weeks. On postoperative day 2, All operative drains and catheters should be removed, and patients should begin physical therapy. Adherence to weight-bearing restrictions is critical for preventing early complications such as femoral head collapse and fracture. In fact, results from a study performed at Duke demonstrate the importance of postoperative compliance. The study compared free vascularized fibular grafting outcomes between a group of 32 hips and healthcare professionals and a control group of 1,257 hips treated over the same period. The healthcare professionals demonstrated a high degree of postoperative compliance and had a significantly lower rate of failure, defined as conversion to total hip arthroplasty, at 6% versus 21% respectively, leading the authors to highlight the relationship between outstanding postoperative compliance and favorable outcomes. For the first 6 weeks after surgery, patients should remain non-weight-bearing on the affected side. Progressive weight-bearing is permitted thereafter, with the goal of reaching full weight-bearing by 6 months. Physical therapy should also incorporate early motion and stretching of the toes and ankle to prevent great toe flexion contracture and ankle pain and tenderness, the most common complications at the donor site. Postoperative recovery should also be monitored with clinical and radiographic follow-up at 3 months, 6 months, and yearly thereafter. Continued corticosteroid exposure in patients treated for corticosteroid-induced osteonecrosis of the femoral head is a potential cause for concern. Corticosteroids adversely affect the femoral head in a dose-dependent manner, with up to 13% of patients treated with high-dose corticosteroids developing corticosteroid-induced osteonecrosis of the femoral head. Patients treated for corticosteroid-induced osteonecrosis of the femoral head often require continued low-dose corticosteroid therapy to manage an underlying autoimmune disorder such as systemic lupus erythematosus or rheumatoid arthritis. In a recent retrospective analysis of 44 patients and 78 hips with corticosteroid-induced osteonecrosis of the femoral head, free vascularized fibular grafting appeared to be a viable option for patients treated with postoperative maintenance corticosteroids at a mean dose equivalent of prednisolone 5.8 milligrams per day. Compared with baseline, free vascularized fibular grafting significantly improved mean Harris hip scores at 70.9 versus 84.0 with a p less than 0.05, and improved SF36 physical and mental component scores with a p less than 0.05, as well as improved radiographic findings in 63% of hips. During the mean follow-up of 5.6 years, only 7 hips, or 9%, required conversion to total hip arthroplasty. According to the study authors, these results suggest that the benefits of revascularization and new bone growth achieved through free vascularized fibular grafting exceed the potential harmful effects of low-dose maintenance corticosteroid therapy. Free vascularized fibular grafting is an effective option for improving hip function, relieving pain, and delaying the need for total hip arthroplasty for select patients with osteonecrosis of the femoral head. The choice to undertake this procedure should be made after weighing the potential benefits and limitations of treatment given at each patient's age, etiology of osteonecrosis of the femoral head, size and location of the necrotic lesion, and the presence of comorbidities. Given the importance of weight-bearing restrictions for up to 6 months as part of post-surgical recovery, the patient's ability to adhere to post-operative instructions may also be an important decision-making factor. We hope that you have enjoyed today's activity. Thank you for listening.